Today on More to Life, Up from the Ashes. Feeling burned out in some part of your life or relationships will help you reclaim your sense of joy and purpose. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, Up from the Ashes, we're talking about burnout on More to Life today. And burnout doesn't just affect work or the particular roles we play. It comes into relationships, too, because burnout, well, we'll talk about this more in a minute, but burnout is effort minus meaning. It's when we're putting a lot of work into something and getting less and less out of it. And that could apply to anything, really, whether it is work or our roles or a relationship with our spouse or our kids or really anyone, including God and the church. We can feel spiritually burned out. So however burnout is affecting your life or relationships, we want to help you reclaim that sense of joy and purpose today on More to Life. The number to join the conversation is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So is there some part of your life that you're putting effort into but getting less and less out of it? As Greg was saying, it could be your work or role, but it could also be a relationship. For instance, do you feel like you're trying to work on your marriage, but it's just never what you wish it was? Despite the effort you're putting into raising your kids, do you feel frustrated, lonely, or like you're not measuring up? Are you doing all the work to keep up a relationship with a family member or a friend, only to feel frustrated because you don't feel like they are there for you? Or for that matter, are you feeling burned out spiritually because you feel like your prayers are going unanswered or your spiritual practices aren't helping you feel connected to God at the moment? However burnout is affecting your life, let us help you reclaim your sense of joy and purpose here today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And of course, if you're listening later on to the More to Life podcast, you can send us your questions via email. That address is questions@moretoliferadio.com. That's with the number two, questions@moretoliferadio.com. But if you're listening live, we do love hearing your voice and, more importantly, being able to ask those follow-up questions that let us tailor our response to your particular circumstances.
And give you that immediate answer you might be longing for. If you happen to have tuned into this show and you're hearing the topic is burnout and you're going, well, then take a look at what in your life is making you feel that way and then pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us connect you with some good skills and some of God's grace to turn that burnout around.
877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're saying, well, what is that and how could it possibly have anything to do with helping me recover from burnout? Well, you've come to the right place. So when St. John Paul was Pope, he gave a series of reflections on how we could discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design and creation, especially our bodies.
That's right. And as we look at burnout, we have to do what you were doing earlier, Greg, which is define it. Burnout is effort minus meaning. And that can refer to our work and our roles or our relationships. Anything we feel we're putting effort into but getting less and less benefit from. The theology of the body speaks to this when it reminds us of the difference between work and toil. See, before the fall, the work that Adam and Eve did to tend the garden was joyful and fulfilling. It had purpose and meaning, and their efforts literally produced good fruit. But after the fall, because sin knocked the entire world out of order, work became toil. The earth fought back against their efforts to cultivate it. Their work felt like a struggle. They lost sight of the purpose of their efforts. Work became something that divided them instead of making them feel united for a common purpose. This is the basis of burnout. When our efforts seem meaningless, especially when it comes to our efforts to work on our relationships.
That's right, because our relationships should be bearing fruit, and the work that we put into them should help us see how those relationships then become more grace-filled and rewarding. But sometimes we can fall into a place where we just work and work and work on a relationship with our spouse, with our kids, with a family member or a friend, or even God, and we feel like we get less and less out of it for some reason. But reclaiming our joy in the face of burnout means reconnecting with the meaning and purpose behind what we're doing and approaching our work and relationships in a way that helps us feel more connected to God, to the people around us, and to our own best selves. And often that takes making a conscious effort to step back from what we're doing and, frankly, how we're doing it, and then intentionally reminding ourselves why we're doing it, who we're doing it for, and what our goal is in choosing to do whatever it is in the first place. And then we need to ask ourselves if the way we're doing something, working on that job or that role or that relationship, is really serving those goals. And if not, well, then it's time to make some changes. You know, God doesn't want us to settle for grinding our way through the day in our work, our life, our relationships. Burnout can be a sign that we're starting to settle and that we need to step back and practice what the theology of the body calls receptivity by giving the situation to God and asking him how he wants us to approach that work or role or challenge or relationship in front of us, listening to his voice to guide us through, instead of just powering through on our own, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. You know, if we can bring that to God, then his grace will bring meaning, purpose, and joy back into everything we do. But that's easy to say and sometimes a little harder to connect with. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and we'll help you beat burnout and reclaim your joy and sense of purpose in every part of your life and relationships.
I think it's so easy for us to also fall into misinterpretations or misunderstandings of what it means to suffer burnout as a Catholic person. We often fall into the idea of, well, we just have to offer it up. You know, my suffering in this situation is just something I should offer up. God will use it. It's fine. There are certainly times in our lives where that is true. But when something is draining us of our joy to the point that we cannot feel any consolation from God, you know, often when we're offering something up, we can still feel God working in us. We can hear the Holy Spirit telling us that this is a, you know, time of this to go through so that you can grow in some virtue. There's some consolation involved somewhere. But if you're just saying, well, God told me to do this a year ago, 20 years ago, whatever it is, and now I'm just burned out and raw, but he told me to do it, so I should keep doing it the same way I've always been doing it. What we might really be doing is we've put an address into like our spiritual GPS, and then we followed it for the first couple of miles and said, oh, I think I know how to get there. And then we're just ignoring the GPS. In other words, we're pushing aside anything else God might be telling us to do, change, enhance, so that we can really be with him and have his guidance.
We're ignoring the God positioning system,
exactly,
if you will.
Exactly. So even if you think you're doing exactly what God told you to do, you can keep you can end up suffering from burnout for some reason. And that's when you've got to check those directions and figure out what he's asking you to do differently. Let us help you figure that out today, because when you're burned out, it's awfully hard to see the forest for the trees, and we can give you a hand with that today. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Well, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we bring you those situations in our life or relationships where we are feeling burned out because we're working hard, or at least we feel like we are, and we're getting less and less benefit out of that work or that role or those relationships. And it includes our life, our spiritual life, Lord, and our relationship with you. And so wherever we're feeling burned out, we bring those situations to you, and we ask you to give us the grace and courage we need to step back and reevaluate our goals, reevaluate your call, and look at how we're doing that work so that we can find ways to reclaim the joy and the sense of purpose that comes from living in your grace. Lord, we ask you to give us clear direction so that we know how to respond to those situations where we do feel burned out, so that we can work at those tasks in due season, so that you can give us the reward of our labors and help us to be able to work in ways that glorify you, that help us be our best selves and bring out the best in others as well. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, Up from the Ashes, we are talking about burnout and how to recover from it. And burnout doesn't just relate to work and roles, although we're happy to talk about that as well. It relates a lot, in a lot of ways, primarily to our relationships. You know, is there some part of your life you're putting effort into but getting less and less out of, whether it's your work or your role? Or, for instance, you feel like you're trying to work on your marriage, but it's just never what you wish it was. Or despite all the work you're putting into raising your kids, do you feel frustrated or lonely or like you can never measure up? Are you doing all the work to keep up a relationship with a family member or a friend, only to feel frustrated because it doesn't seem like they're there for you? Or for that matter, are you feeling burned out spiritually because it seems like your prayers go unanswered or your spiritual practices aren't bearing any fruit? However burnout's affecting your life and relationships, we want to help you reclaim that sense of joy and purpose. 877-573-7825.
We have an email here from Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana. She said, I feel exhausted, burned out, and sad. I went to the Eucharistic Congress, and it was beautiful, but my heart was broken as I watched so many families there with their spouses and kids. I went alone. My husband and kids wouldn't come with me, and they all made excuses and said they had things already scheduled for that week. But I know they don't really share my faith, and they don't really want to be with me as I celebrate my faith. It hurt me so much. I felt in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament that he wants more for my family, for my husband and children, who are all now teens and young adults. And I know he loves them, but I don't know what to do. I feel so lonely and so worn out from trying to drag them through the faith. I really don't have the energy to do this anymore. What should I do? And that's Maria in Indiana.
Maria, thank you so much for your question. And, you know, I completely understand where you're coming from. On the one hand, we were at the Eucharistic Congress, and it was inspiring, and it was beautiful. But I've heard this similar story from other folks in your position, where it did bring up a lot of feelings of loneliness, because it reminded them of how little they can share that sense of communion in their own family lives. So I completely understand what you're saying. You know, when we get this question, I want you to reflect on this, because this is the often religious when religious differences in a family are a problem, it's not always because of religion. It's often because of a deeper failure of respect in the relationship. And what I mean by that is that when husbands and wives especially respect each other, we try really hard to find the truth and the goodness and the beauty in all the things our spouse finds true, good, and beautiful. Marriage researcher John Gottman talks about this as accepting influence. It's that willingness to learn from your spouse things that you know aren't really your thing, but you love them, so you're willing to open yourself up to those experiences and up to those, because you want to be a support to your spouse and you want to share in those experiences with your spouse. And Gottman argues, and in fact his research really shows, that the degree to which husbands and wives are willing to accept influence from each other tends to predict whether they'll both be satisfied in the relationship overall. Because the less you're willing to accept influence, or, as I put it, you know, respect each other, the lonelier you feel in the relationship. And where I see this dynamic around faith, it's often true about the rest of the relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
Right?
It
so,
shines out in little places, but because our faith means so much to us, that's where it hurts the most. That's where it really, you can see it. And so we end up fixating on that. Like, if God could just fix their faith, then everything else would fall into place.
Well, and also the other piece of that, though, is that you know, that's the one thing we're not willing to give up on, right? So
true.
So in other areas of the relationship, you know, we don't see that same level of conflict or disagreement because I'm just willing to capitulate. I'm willing to give in, you know, or just go along to get along. But in this area, I'm committed to it, and I'm not willing to give it up. And so then that becomes a problem. And so my question to you, and I'm sorry, this is Maria?
Maria.
Yeah. My question to you, Maria, is this: does this just affect the faith, or does your husband kind of check out when you're doing anything or want to do anything that isn't directly of interest to him? Because if that's the case, then it's not a religion problem. It's a respect issue. And that's almost always a counseling issue. What I guess I would suggest to you to start out with is to be honest with your husband and go back to him and say, listen, honey, I'm really lonely in this marriage and family life. And if it's just about the faith, then you can make it about that. But I would say, you know, but again, if I'm right, then say, and it's not just because you don't share my faith. It's because you're not really willing to share anything that you're not personally interested in. You don't want to learn anything about anything that's important to me or that I'm passionate about. You just want to be able to do your thing. And I've tried my best to try to share those things with you as I can. But you're not making any effort to share these things that are so important to me. And it's made me feel lonelier and lonelier and lonelier in this relationship. Are you willing to step out of your comfort zone and love me a little bit more than you love that? Or do we need to go get some help for the rest of, so that we can have the kind of marriage where I'm not feeling like I'm suffocating here out of loneliness?
Now, I have to say, Maria, you're hearing Dr. Greg say this to you. Talk to your husband. In your email, you said that your husband and your teen and adult kids didn't just say, hey, this is why I don't want to go to the Eucharistic Congress with you. You said they made excuses, that they had been scheduled, that this and that, but you didn't think that that was true. I get the feeling that you guys don't talk honestly about a lot of things if they actually had to make excuses or just kind of grudgingly get out of going with you. So having that conversation with your husband might be a brand new thing that you're doing, a very important thing. And you might kind of shy away from doing it, but I encourage you to do it, because once you start actually talking about these things, you can problem solve for them. And that's when things can begin to change.
Maria, if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or through CatholicCounselors.com, where we do a lot of this kind of work, helping people find faithful answers to these challenging questions. And so if you'd like to work with one of our Catholic counselors, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, and we can help you transform your relationship in the light of God's grace. We're talking about burnout today on More to Life on our show titled Up from the Ashes. Are you feeling burned out in some part of your life or relationships where you, and again, burnout is effort minus meaning. So do you feel like you're putting a lot of work into something and just getting less and less and less benefit, less joy, less sense of purpose and meaning out of it? We're here for you. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Anastasia Northrup. She's the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference, and she'll be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on how to confront and overcome burnout. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
He was a doctor of the church and one of the most famous saints of all time.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Augustine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, but he balanced his genius with humility. Once declared, it was pride that changed angels into devils. It is humility that makes men as angels. He died in 461.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck. Today's show is titled Up from the Ashes as we talk about burnout and all the ways that burnout can affect our life and our relationships. We're here to help you reclaim your sense of joy and purpose. The number is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Anastasia Northrup. She is an expert in the theology of the body and the founder of the National Catholic Singles Conference. Anastasia, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you so much, Dr. Greg. Good to be here.
It's great to have you with us. So you wanted to share some insights from the theology of the body and how those insights can help us deal with burnout and perhaps even overcome it.
Yes, well, I was listening to what you were saying earlier about that burnout equals effort minus meaning and just how central the whole topic of meaning is to the theology of the body and the whole fact that the body, having a physical body that John Paul II says it has a meaning, a spousal meaning that we're supposed to give ourselves. And often in talking about theology of the body, we emphasize this aspect of self-gift, but sometimes, which is amazing, right? And it's important for love because that's the whole point of everything. The whole meaning behind everything is love. But sometimes we forget about the receptivity part, that in order to have those relationships, we have to receive. And, you know, being somebody that's worked in ministry for a long time, I think sometimes I realize that I think of the receptivity part and like taking relaxing time and cultivating relationships and just really enjoying it. Not the hard work of the relationships part, but, you know, just the enjoyment part. I think of that as a luxury, you know, and I have to remind myself that, like, no, that's not a luxury. Like, we're made to experience that joy and that, you know, in friendship and just relaxed conversation and, you know, sitting in the backyard with the, you know, barbecue and some friends. That's actually important. It's not something that you just say, oh, I'll fit it in if I can, right? And so I think that's something to keep
You know, Anastasia, I'm going to jump in here because something's really occurring to me, and you may want to reflect on this or just continue with what you're trying to say. But as you say this idea of receptivity, I see so many of the people that we talk to popping up in my mind's eye who think they're only going to be able to be receptive once they've pushed all the right buttons by giving and giving and giving and giving and giving, and then somebody will notice and do something kind, and then they will receive that, and everything will be fine. But that's imbalanced, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Well, I think sometimes, too, it's hard for us to receive, and we feel like, oh, we don't have a right to receive or something until we do all these things, like you said. And so just being aware of that, some self-awareness around that, and being receptive to people's efforts to do something for us or receive, you know, give us a compliment or any of those things can bring a lot of joy. And, you know, that's something I don't think we think about too much. Like, am I receiving? Like, you would think it would be easy to receive, but sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm. No, and St. John Paul talks about this in the Theology of the Body, where he talks about the idea of being a receiving giver, that you know, just how it makes us feel good to be able to make a difference in somebody else's life. When we give others the gift of making a difference in our life by receiving the good things that they can bring to the relationship as well, and that can be a really important way of giving too. So, you know, the Theology of the Body kind of covers both of those bases there and reminds us of exactly what you're talking about, that need to take some time and remember what it's all about. Speaking of what it's all about, you know, you have the National Catholic Singles Conference coming up next week, an opportunity for Catholic singles to step back and do exactly what you're talking about and enjoy fellowship with other singles and really discovering what God's plan is for their life. That's August 16th through the 18th. Tell us a little bit about that and where people can learn more about it.
Sure, yes, yep. We're meeting, actually, this year it's in Las Vegas, believe it or not, but lots of fun things to do there, but we're meeting the 16th through the 18th, and if you can't make it to Las Vegas, we do have an online version, too, and that's not just watching the talks, but we actually have small group facilitators, we'll have discussions, we'll have socials, so there's plenty to do. NationalCatholicSingles.com is where all the info is.
So learn more about the National Catholic Singles Conference at nationalcatholicsingles.com. It's happening next week, 16th through the 18th. Check it out, either in person or online. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825 about burnout in your life or relationships. Let us help you get your joy and purpose back. That number, 877-573-7825.
What makes you happy? Truly and completely happy? Not just for a day or a year. What makes you truly, completely happy day in, year out? St. Thomas Aquinas says, God alone satisfies. Each and every one of us in the human race desire happiness. Our Creator, God, implanted that desire in our spiritual DNA so that we would be drawn to Him alone who can completely fulfill that desire. The Beatitudes respond to that yearning for happiness, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, because they reveal the ultimate end of human acts. God calls us to His own Beatitude, characterized variously as the coming of the kingdom of God, the vision of God, the joy of the Lord, or entering into God's rest. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
We just did our parish mission a couple weeks ago now, and I suggested that in the course of the mission that we do something like a little mini spiritual assessment of our lives. I don't have to show this to anybody, but a great chance for us just to, with real honesty, just between us and Jesus, ask ourselves some questions. First question, given the fact that half of Catholics don't think God is even personal, would be to ask ourselves that. Do I think God is personal? And then to ask myself, do I think a relationship with Jesus is possible? Do I have a relationship with Jesus? And if so, what's it look like? And then perhaps a little bit more awkwardly or painfully, to ask Jesus, from His perspective, what's the friendship that we have with Him look like? How would He describe our friendship with Him? That might be a hard conversation to have.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. In sports, teams win or lose not only because of the skills of their players, but also how well the players work together. The players on winning teams support and encourage one another, even in the toughest fight. Marriage is the same way. Couples who tackle marital conflicts with a sense of teamwork do better than couples who enter conflict ready to battle one another. In fact, research finds that happy couples have 5 positive interactions for every negative interaction, even during conflicts. That doesn't mean these couples avoid tough issues or that they aren't honest and direct with one another. But even in difficult conversations, these couples go out of their way to make sure that their spouse feels loved and cared for. They offer words of encouragement and affirmation. They work to regulate their own emotional temperature. They take breaks to refocus the conversation. And they cultivate sympathy for their spouse's position, even when they disagree with it. In short, their priority isn't to win. Instead, it's solving the problem in a way that respects their spouse and strengthens their marriage. For more tips about managing marital conflict, read our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for more personalized, faith-filled help, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak. And you know, that pop-up really speaks to what we're talking about today, which is burnout. And you know, they were talking about when people are competing with one another, even then they can, you know, work for the same goals. And it really reminded me of this past week in the Olympics when we had the first all-black podium in gymnastics. And the two, I hate to even put it this way, but the two that did not win gold, the silver and bronze winners,
medalists,
one of them being Simone Biles, said to each other, should we bow down to the one who got gold? And they did, and then they held hands, and they were excited. And I heard an interview with Simone Biles where somebody was asking her, you know, how do you do that? You're competing with each other. And she said, we're all going for the same goal. We all want to win, but we all want to do our best. And to be able to lift somebody up because they're doing their best is what we need to do no matter what. And when we can do that in our relationships, in the roles that we play in life, in our marriage, in our family life, in anything that we're doing, that's what prevents us from getting really burned out, because we get that support. We get people who are coming alongside of us and encouraging us. And when we don't, and we feel alone, and we feel dried out by it all, that's when we can really end up feeling burned out.
Well, you know, based on what you're just saying there, we want to make sure that we're giving support to our other stations.
We do.
In particular, we want to send out some congratulations.
We do. Another member of the EWTN radio family, that's KYEJ FM 90.1 in Fairmont, Minnesota, is celebrating 9 years with EWTN.
Hey, congratulations to Steve Landsteiner and his great team at Fairmont Area Catholic Radio from your friends right here at EWTN. And listeners, wherever you're tuning in to EWTN Radio, make sure you're supporting your local EWTN Catholic Radio station, certainly with your prayers, but also with your dollars. Let's keep EWTN Radio going strong for decades to come so that EWTN can keep supporting you and your loved ones in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we are taking our next call. Lisa, who's on deck?
We're talking with Mark, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Louisiana on Queen of New Orleans.
Hey, Mark, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Morning, y'all. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Love talking to you. What can we do for you, Mark?
Yeah, well, it's not exactly the topic, but I came in kind of late, but anyway, a mentor of mine that I've been knowing for almost 30 years, I've given him permission to correct me. You know, he's sort of my business mentor, and not so much spiritual, but he does help me in regular personal challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the other day, as I was walking away from our office, I was waiting for him to come out of his truck, and it took a while, but I was going to give him a hug and say goodbye and whatnot before I went back home to New Orleans. And he got out of his truck, and he just kind of like felt this urge to correct me about parking.
Mm.
And it was
parking
out of character. Yes, I know, but he's a type A guy. Parking. He didn't, no small talk or anything, and it was like, well, I don't want to park there, but I didn't get a chance to complete my rational response to him, and he was pressed for time, and he was walking away from me, and all he was doing was giving me the reasons why I shouldn't park there, and I knew him already. I know why we're not supposed to park there. And as he was going in the building, He says, Mark, I can tell this isn't a time to finish this, and we're going to end the conversation now, and boom, close the door. And it was like, I got T-boned. I got gut kicked. And it really hurt.
Hey, Mark, let me ask you, is you said that this was out of character for him. Is he, you know, although he has a type A personality, is he normally this, I mean, petty? Or is this an unusual thing?
He can be, but he's a very charitable man, and he's one of the first to confess and ask for apologies and everything. But he had just been to a retreat like the weekend before, and he addressed the same issue. And I'm going, oh, geez. And so he's a good man.
All right. Well, I mean, look. I mean, so. Yeah, I think this is one of those things where it could go either way, right? Where you have either the opportunity to practice the spiritual work of mercy of bearing wrongs patiently, or the spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner. And here's what it comes down to, and this is what I'd like you to pray about, right? So we bear wrongs patiently when the person who's offended us is usually does a much better job of kind of watching their behavior and being virtuous and working for our good and the good of the relationship, and they're just having a bad moment, right? They have a lapse, as we all do, and I don't want to pig pile on the person and make them feel worse. I just want to give them some space because I know that if I give them that space, eventually they'll reflect on their own behavior and realize that that wasn't great, and either they'll apologize or at least just self-correct. And I don't need to mention it because I know that they're a good enough person that they'll figure it out for themselves.
And when it's something this small, you know, he may not come back to that particular thing, and that's okay. Sometimes we can let small slips go. Please God we can, because we can't exist on this planet charitably with anyone if we don't. But you might see that he moves right back into that same nurturing, wonderfully advice-giving mentor he's been to for all of these years. So it may not be worth making a big deal out of one comment about parking when he said he didn't have a lot of time, and you don't really know what he was going through that day.
Now, on the other hand, all right, now where we don't bear wrongs patiently, but instead do the spiritual work of mercy of admonishing the sinner, is when somebody is kind of habitually behaving in a way that is beneath them and hurtful to others, and maybe they don't realize it, right? So it's not if I give them the space to self-correct, they might not. Because it's a blind spot for them. And in those cases, it's more merciful to call them out. Because mercy doesn't mean letting people off the hook. Mercy means treating people in a manner that reminds them of their dignity and worth in God's eyes. And reminds them, for that matter, to behave in a manner that reflects their dignity and worth in God's eyes. So, you know, again, if the person is really aware of that dignity and is really doing a good job and trying to live that out generally, and I give them, you know, and I practice that spiritual work of mercy of bearing wrongs patiently, I give them the space to self-correct. But if they have a blind spot, then it's more merciful for me to point it out in a charitable way and say, hey, you know, I know that you're my mentor, and I really appreciate your advice, and I appreciate your example and all the ways you call me on. But, you know, that was a little hurtful, and it kind of, you know, not just what you said about this petty thing, but that you didn't give me any chance to respond. And it you know, I'm not really upset about the parking situation. I'm more upset about the way that you just sort of blew in, told me what to do, and then dismissed me. And it was really hurtful. And, you know, I'm not holding it against you, but I'm asking, you know, is in the future, if you could just watch that, because that's just not... That's not who I know you to be, and that's not the kind of relationship that we usually have. So I'd really appreciate it if you'd watch out for that in the future.
But you can really hear the difference between encouraging him to be his best self and to treat you with dignity rather than just attacking him for hurting your feelings. There's a different way of doing that, should that be the way that you discern you should go.
Yeah, but you know, but pray about it. And if you feel, again, that this is one of those things where he kind of does this periodically and it's really a sort of a blind spot for him, there's nothing wrong with charitably bringing it up the way I just kind of modeled. And so, you know, or if you feel like this is something he does self-correct on, then, you know, go ahead and give him some space on it.
But the fact that you told both our call screener and us that you felt T-boned, gut-kicked by this, It probably means that it's kind of counterintuitive to how he normally is. That's why it came as such a surprise. So really discern if this is something you should just offer up and pray for him for, because he may really have just been going through something that shorted him out that day. So he made the statement, walked away, closed the door, or if this is a pattern.
Thank you for the call, Mark. And I will say to other listeners who are tuning in and hearing this, overusing bearing wrongs patiently is one of, in my experience as a counselor, one of the biggest contributors to burnout in relationships. Because
yes.
Because this person that we're in a relationship with consistently and repetitively commits this particular offense against us. And we get as far in that list of spiritual works of mercy as bear wrongs patiently or forgive willingly. And we think, well, that's the only thing we're supposed to do. And so we try to give that person space, and we give them more space, and they keep doing the thing, and then we give them more space, and then they do the thing, and then we forgive them again, and because we know we're supposed to forgive 70 times 7 and all that. And that's all true. I'm not taking anything away from that. But we forget that over and over in Scripture, it talks about how, as brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're called to admonish each other, to challenge each other, to be better, to do better, to remember our dignity as sons and daughters of God and behave accordingly. And so, in a relationship, when something like Mark is describing becomes habitual, we definitely need to bring it up. Not in an attacking way, not in a way that condemns the other person, but in a way that says, hey, look, I'm sure you're not aware of this, but when you do X, it really makes me feel Y. And I don't like the way that makes me feel about you or about our relationship, and it would really mean a lot to me if we could figure out a better way to handle that moving forward. Right? See, I'm not calling the person names. I'm not yelling at them. I'm not behaving in a childish, pouting, attacking way toward them. I'm just saying, hey, look, this is a problem, and I'm sure you didn't mean anything by it, but moving forward, I need to figure out a better way to deal with this with you. You know, what can we do differently? And I'm making it safe for them to talk with me about how to solve that problem. And in doing that, I'm admonishing the sinner, which is, again, a spiritual work of mercy, but I'm not doing it in a way that's condemning in any way. And I'm doing it in a way that allows us to seek solutions together.
Yeah, you're seeking solutions. You're coming up with a plan. You're inviting them back into the relationship. And that's really, really different than what most of us would do, which would be to say, you hurt my feelings. How dare you? In some way, shape, or form. And then sort of leave it there in the middle of the room like a dead fish and expect them to fix it all. Instead, you're really inviting them back into the relationship and seeking to actually flesh out a solution together to support them and also make sure that you're respected. Very different than just sort of like attacking them in some way for hurting you.
Thanks again for the call, Mark, and I hope these suggestions will give you a way forward. And thanks for the opportunity to talk about when to speak up and when to let it go. All right, our show today is titled Up From the Ashes. We talk about feeling burned out in some part of our life or relationships. And if you are feeling like you're putting a lot of effort into something and getting less and less out of it, you might be experiencing burnout. Let's talk about how to reclaim your sense of joy and purpose today on More to Life. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest.
You know, Jesus here is reminding us to bring all these things to him. But I think there's a popular misunderstanding here of what this verse means. We kind of think that somehow bringing something to the Lord magically will make us feel better.
And then
we feel guilty if it doesn't. We feel like we've somehow failed or that we're not good enough or God doesn't love us or whatever. If we come away from that prayer time where we've given something to the Lord, but we walk away from it still feeling concerned about the thing or still feeling a little stressed about the thing. And I want to just say that when we do bring things to the Lord and we place them at his feet, but then they end up back in our lap, it's not that God is saying to us, I don't want to handle this, or I don't love you, or whatever. He's saying, let's work this out together. you know, I've shared this story before, but I had terrible math anxiety when I was a kid, and I would come home and I would sit in front of my math homework and I would just freak out and I couldn't do it, and I wanted my mom and dad to just do it for me, you know, so I would, if you will, lay my math problems at their feet. But then they wouldn't do the math for me. They would come and sit next to me and they would say, "All right, what's the next step?" I don't know. Just take a breath. What's the next step? And they'd work through it with me. So I actually became competent at math. And God does the same thing with us. We lay the thing at his feet, not so that he'll magically take it away and make us feel all better. I mean, although that's lovely whenever he does do that. If that doesn't happen, if we still have that concern in our hearts, he's not saying, "I'm not going to help you," or that you somehow failed and didn't use the right formula in giving it to me. He's saying, let's sit down and work through this step by step together. And so the other way that God gives us rest when we come to him with our burdens is he walks us through the process and helps us carry that burden so it becomes lighter and we learn from it and we grow from it and become stronger, godlier, healthier, better people. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about burnout today on our show titled Up From the Ashes. Let's talk about ways to get your sense of joy and purpose back in all of your areas of life and relationships where burnout is wearing you down. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your questions about burnout when we come back after the break.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. Want to celebrate some amazing anniversaries this year in France? We'll visit Normandy Beach to celebrate our heroic military for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. Also, the 100th anniversary of the canonization of St. Teresa of Lisieux. Join us this October for our Saints and Shrines of France and a visit to the newly renovated Notre Dame Cathedral.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at avemariaradio.net. That's avemariaradio.net.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Do you feel as though life is flying past you? Are you desperate for a way to find moments of peace and quiet? Lord, Teach Me to Pray, the free Ignatian Prayer Series, will open your heart to His voice, to the peace you are seeking and the only love that fulfills the human heart, Jesus. God is calling you to true joy, knowing Jesus personally. Lord, Teach Me to Pray is free. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, click on the red box, order the Lord, Teach Me to Pray series now. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popcheck.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, and today we're talking about burnout on More to Life. Give us a call. Let us help you get your sense of joy and purpose back in every part of your life and relationships where you are putting a lot of effort in and getting less and less out of it and experiencing burnout. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kevin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in North Carolina on Sirius XM 130.
Hey, Kevin, welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today?
Hi, Lisa. Hi, Dr. Greg. Love your show. I got Sirius XM to listen to this channel and Catholic channel also. But anyway.
Thank you. That's wonderful.
So what's your question for us?
Dr. Greg, I'm trying to word this right. Okay. my the debacle with the beginning of the Olympics, and I'm big with the Catholic Church, and I have a lot of friends that are too. They were angry and coming to me with, Kevin, what is going on? How can this go on? We feel like punching bags. We're tired of being punching bags. There's 2 million Christians possibly that are watching this Olympics, and they just gave us a big punch in the face, and they don't care what they do. They think they can just do anything they want, and
You're voicing something that most Christians around the world feel right now. So how's that making you feel, Kevin, and how's it really leading to this burnout situation that we can help you with today?
The burnout part is I just constantly feel like I have to apologize for my Christian faith when we are getting, like, put down by the Olympics and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm always, like, on defense. Like they attacked the church, in my opinion, doing that in the beginning of the Olympics with the Last Supper. My feeling is, I'm getting burned out of just all these attacks against Christians, and no one seems to be sticking up for us.
No, I'm going to jump in just because we have about 3 minutes before they play us out of here. So I want to respond to this because I know you're not the only one that feels this way.
Absolutely and I think not. There's been a lot of conversation about this online.
Yeah, and I can certainly identify. There's lots of times where I feel like, geez, you know. But I have to remind myself, and I'm going to remind you here that this is, you know, Jesus told us this is how it was going to be. Right? I mean, Jesus told us that blessed are you who are persecuted for holiness' sake. Right? I mean, this is the inheritance that we receive as Christians. Our job is to live in a way that makes the world reflect on its behavior, that really doesn't judge the world, but calls other people out to say, look, what you're doing and how you're living and the things that you're clinging to aren't going to save you. And people don't like hearing that.
Mm-mm. And they didn't when Jesus was walking the earth, and that's why he was crucified.
And so they're going to make fun of us, and they're going to criticize us, and they're going to do worse to us. They're going to crucify us, as they did our Lord. And that's part of it. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted for holiness' sake. You know, Jesus' own words in the Sermon on the Mount. And so I get it, you know. But I think that we can sometimes lose that sense of mission, that we are there to be that sign of contradiction in the world, and that people are going to hate us for it. And honestly, I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing that the Paris Olympics made a mockery of the
Not at
summer.
All.
But what I'm saying is it's a sign that we're still doing our job. Because if we weren't doing our job, they wouldn't think to make fun of us. They wouldn't think to stick a needle in our eye. They wouldn't want to punch us in the face because it wouldn't matter.
It also speaks to the truth of what we believe, because, you know, the Last Supper was 2,000 years ago, and they're still bringing it up. They might be harming us by it. They might be, as you said,
poking fun at it,
but it's still a real thing that people are thinking about, and therefore we are called, one by one, unfortunately, to explain what is true, good, and beautiful about the Last Supper, or whatever they're attacking us about in that moment.
So I'd suggest that our response to this kind of thing is twofold. One, yes, I think we do need to say something. I think it's okay to say, you know what, that's blasphemous. It's not okay. And to make reparation for that in our own spiritual life, you know, as many bishops have called us to do.
Yeah, and I will say, there's great support on how to speak about this online, both on the EWTN website and other places where the bishops have really spoken out about this atrocity.
But secondly, I think it's important to not get so caught up in it. So I guess, again, part one, address it, say, yes, this is not okay, this is blasphemous, and make spiritual reparation in our own ways, as the bishops are counseling us to. But secondly, not get so caught up in the drama of this that this is all we worry about and all we obsess about. You know, and that, because that stops us from living out our mission. right? Satan wants us to be so outraged by the way the world makes fun of us that we don't do the work of building the kingdom. Okay. We're so mad, and we're pouting, and we're angry, and we're lashing out, and we're going to go on the internet, and we're going to right these wrongs and call these people out, and then we don't do what God's asking us to do.
Love our spouse, take care of our children, and be present to them. Be there to help other people throughout the day, because we're too grumpy about what the world's putting us through.
So I hope that those suggestions will give you a way forward, Kevin. And remember, you know, we're not Christians to be lauded in the world. We're Christians to be that thorn in their side, that pebble in their shoe. And they're not going to like us for it. And that's just part of the deal. But there is glory in that. And we are blessed when we are persecuted for holiness' sake. Just let's not let it take our eyes off the prize here and stop us from following our own mission because we're so grumpy about what's going on in the rest of the world. Thanks so much for the call. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. And listeners, if you're struggling with burnout in any area of your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.